I'm Steve Poggi, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast, y'all.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Shane Presley here with the Rock Paper Podcast. Sitting down tonight with special guest host, Denver Wade Trent.
Shane.
And our guest this evening is Mr. Steve Poggi.
Hell yeah, out here in the cold. We're doing it.
Welcome, man. Welcome welcome back home, I guess, huh?
Yeah, man. It's good. It does feel like home, you know, because I have all the family. And so I get too stressed out in the city, and I got to come out here and clear everything out.
Nice. So were you born and raised in St. Louis area?
I was born in Redwood City. And then I lived in this little coastal town called Benicia.
Yeah.
And then when I got to about sixth grade, the parents split up. And then mom headed out to St. Louis because that's where all the family was. And so I went with her. And then I went back to dad. And I went back and forth. And then after high school, I did my last 2 years of high school out here. And I stayed for about 12 years. Got into comedy and everything like that. And then I was like, I got to do something else. I got to expand.
Yeah.
And so then I headed back out to the Bay Area. I live about 45 minutes north of San Francisco, but I'm in San Francisco pretty much all day long. Okay. And I just go back there and sleep.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched you for a long time.
Yeah, since the early, early days.
How did you catch him?
I was up at the farm. I'm a regular up there. It's my cheers, pretty much. You know, everybody knows me up there and at the Funny Bone, and Steve was up there a lot, featuring and stuff. So that's where I first met you. And
did you ever see me do the ankle bracelet thing when I was on house arrest?
I don't know if I remember. I remember a lot. That's what some of my favorite bits of yours were, your arrest stories.
Yeah,
and
there's a lot of them. A lot of them.
I loved how personal you were on the state. You know, like how much you opened up about, about your own life and how it came to life on stage.
Yeah.
See, now I heard that some of the best comedy is the true stories.
Yeah.
Is that how you kind of look at it?
I mean, that's kind of where I fell into. It was weird. Like, I had a girlfriend one time, and I would, you know, she'd have to come out to shows and everything, and I would always put comedy above the relationship, no matter who I was with, so it was like they would always end up going to plenty of shows. And then this one girlfriend put it good. She was like, that guy is funny, like, if I was at home reading stuff, but you're funny, like, in person. Like, that's where it's funny, because I mean, I do my act the same way I would as if we were just sitting at a bar, like, talking. Because it was like, I'm not the kind of person that's like Stephen Wright, like, all in the head with, like, weird observations. Like, I'm just telling you shit that actually happened.
Yeah. Right.
And what's funny about it is I'm able to kind of communicate how I was feeling and make the audience kind of feel that a little bit, like, how they would feel if they were, like, going through it kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So it adds a lot more depth and connectability, I feel like, to the jokes. But some people, I mean, that's up here. When I played the South, totally different reaction. They were like, why is this guy talking about his feelings? This is all fucking weird. He's up there being all honest. What kind of queer shit is this? And I was like, okay. So I don't do the South hardly at all anymore. But no, yeah, that's just kind of, you know, where I came to be. It was... Yeah. I would write little goofy stuff, you know, like, God, I can't even remember my jokes, but they were tragically bad. And it was just
one that I just, now that we're just talking about this, came to mind was the your one about the EpiPen.
The
girlfriend that was allergic to cats, and like you had made the comparison to the Pulp Fiction scene and having to
that was. That's one of the few bits. I recorded a CD right before I left. And actually, if you go to stevepoggi.com, you can download it now. I have two CDs, Felony Funny, which is on that one. And then I have Cafe Destiny, which is more like a mixtape of comedy. It's got stand-up, prank phone calls, music, and just weird shit. And, dude, I think about that girl a lot. Like, that was, like, the one girl, the cat allergy girl, that just got away. And no shit, before I came out here this week, for some reason, and I guess it's just because of technology now, but it was like, I wonder what she's up to. So yeah. It's like, go to Facebook and punch in the name. And for a long time, man, she had me blocked. So I could never find her, you know, whenever I would just randomly have this thought. But the photo comes up, and I'm like, well, what's... And I click the photo, and it's her holding two cats. And it was like, this was a girl that I touched, like, where my cat had laid. And then I, like, touched her face, turned around, looked back, and she was Quasimodo'd, full-on, swollen, red. Like, we got to... Like, I mean, you know, we didn't have health insurance, so it was like, we got to go to Walgreens and get this checked out in case you're going to die. And they were like, I'm like, can I just give her some Benadryl? And then the girl behind the counter, I remember she was like, well, if you don't want her to stay awake, like I've been with this girl for 6 months, all right? I'm not trying to, like, date rape her with Benadryl and cat allergies. But dude, sure as shit, there she was holding cats. And then I got worried, like, maybe it's like a suicide photo or something, like... Death by cat or something, you know? So, yeah, but no, that's that actually, there's a couple relationship bits. I'd say from that Felony Funny CD, it's about 45 minutes long. There's 20 minutes, maybe 25, that's going on to this new CD that I got contracted through Upward Records to record. And it's significantly enough called All the Cats. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, that was... Dude, that was a brutal relationship.
Yeah.
It's so, I mean, because, you know, it's like you're in comedy and you meet someone and it's like, hey, we have a good connection. We have a good flow going here. I think this could be something good. Just hold on a second. I'll be back in 2 months. I got to go out on the road, talk about my dick, and then I'll be back.
Right.
And then all they see is pictures of me, like, with my arm around a girl, like, hey.
Right.
And they're like, yeah, shit. It's like, no, she wanted a picture. Her boyfriend was there. He took the picture. Like... Dude, there was plenty. I remember one girlfriend, it was very early on when I was hosting, and this girl, like, really liked me, and it was her birthday, and I got excited, and I was drunk, and I, like, gave her, like, a kiss on the cheek. Like, she's looking straight forward, I'm leaning in, kissing her cheek, and the girl's like, you're a cheating piece of shit. Like, full meltdown. You should have seen
20 minutes
dude.
After this picture.
Full meltdown.
I think that's cheating.
Yeah. So, So you moved to San Francisco, or you, like I said, and you're still doing a lot of mics out there, or are you more focusing on this new project you got? Or
yeah, I mean, kind of, it was different because I got spoiled with the Funny Bone. I didn't realize what the comedy community was going to be like out there. So to, like, give you, like, a little bit of perspective, in San Francisco, there are so many comics that we could have the same number of comics that are in the entire St. Louis comedy community at one open mic.
Yeah.
There's, like, literally just that many people out there. So, you know, even when I got in with the club out there, it was like, all right, you're in. So now that you're in, you know, you can do one show every 3 months. And I was like, this is bullshit. Like, this sucks.
Right.
So for a while, it was bad, man. Like, I didn't really know what to do. I'm in this place. There's all these people. And it's like, you know, I'm a storyteller and I'm a truth teller, and that's, like, my niche. But then it's like, you know, you can hear some drunk arrest stories from here, or you can hear about this homeless transgender person that, you know, killed a pigeon so they could survive. And it was like, oh, fuck, my stories aren't really holding up to this. And, yeah, so it got sad, and it was just like, it became very clear that you need to do something else other than just comedy.
Right.
You know, if you think about it now, it's kind of, like, archaic. It's like, in order for you to enjoy what I do, you have to find out what city and state I'll be playing in, navigate there, and then the small time window, get in there, see what's going on. Whereas with this video show I got into, or podcasting, or, you know, any of this stuff, they can access you 24 hours a day at any point in time. So it was like, there was a big emphasis on, like, okay, like, you really got to capitalize on the digital content. Otherwise, you're just going to kind of get brushed off to the side. You know, no one in Portland, Oregon is worrying about what's going on and, you know, Billing, Montana, as far as what's hip on the comedy scene, you know? So yeah. It's like, that became the way to branch out. And I don't know. I mean, just my opinion as a comic, these Comedy Central Presents, these Letterman shit, that shit's all worthless to me, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, if I'm on Letterman, I could be one of, you know, 4,000 comics that have been on there. And maybe if they see me do my watered down TV appropriate act, they'll want to come. So it was just like, I don't know, I need something that fits me.
Sure.
And yeah, so the Pete and Poggi video stuff came up. And as a, you know, I imagine my luck to be in this state of like, I should probably do some digital content. And then this weird bearded guy comes up to me and he's like, I'm a film major and I'd like to make digital content. Yeah. And I was like, well, good, buddy. I think we got a nice fit here. You got any ideas? Because I don't. Actually, I do. This gets better by the moment. So,
yeah, so you guys just met out there and then...
I was one of a handful of comics that was opening up for Doug Stanhope, who I'm buddies with, and this weird bearded guy after the show was like, sign my body! And I was like, okay, so I did like P, and then I did OG, and I did the O around his nipple, like, and he liked it, and then he sent me a message, and he said he wanted to do some sketches, and I was like, all right, well, let's meet up, and we'll talk about them. And I was like, you know, bring some scripts, and we'll sit down, and he had this piece of paper with these drawings on him, and I was like, what the fuck is this, dude? Like, you got stick figures? Like, yeah. I want scripts, like, and the two ideas were Portable Glory Hole, which was a yoga mat with a hole cut into it that the person would lift up, and I play like a Billy Mays like sales pitch guy. And then the other one was for Syringeade, which was an energy drink that you shoot into your arm that turns you into a monster. And then this guy rips off my arm and like knocks off my head and all this stuff. And like we filmed them, and then it took about like 2 months for me to finally like see him back. And the quality was insane, dude. It looked like shit that you would see on TV.
Yeah.
Like I had bought like a Sony Handycam thinking like, I'm going to make videos. And it was that home movie feeling.
Yeah.
And this was just on a whole another level. And this dude was buying lights. He had a green screen and shit. And I'm like, dude, let's make something happen. I think we can do something.
Yeah. So, watch that. Episode one, I guess, or however you want
to. Yeah, we released one and we called it episode one, but then the next episode, because the whole idea was like I don't know what I'm doing as far as like writing scripts. I never did that. I'm just a comic. Yeah. I know how to make people laugh, and I'm just trying to do it in this medium.
Yeah.
So we filmed those two sketches. They worked out, and I was like, well, I could write an overall storyline, and we could incorporate them of like how I like met you and we moved in or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that, and we called it episode one, but then it was like, as we started to pitch the series, we didn't want people to see that episode right off the bat, because it opens up with a guy getting raped by a sea monster, and which, if you watch it, the footage that we captured is very, very small. Like, I, like, tongue-in-cheek called my buddy, I'm like, hey, man, we need somebody to get raped by a sea monster, you know, I thought it'd be funny if you know, it was you, if you could do it, and he's like, yeah. But then, like, it came time to shoot the scene, and he really got raped by a sea monster. Like, he was, like, wailing and, like, screaming at the top of his lungs. And we're shooting at another buddy's house. And it's like, I don't want to tell him to calm down. But this isn't, like, the slapstick thing we were going for.
Yeah.
So I didn't want people to be like, oh, what's Pete and Poggi? Sea monster rape. Oh, my God, we got to get away from this.
Yeah.
So we called it the pilot. And then we released episode one not too long ago. But then as I was talking with Pete, I was like, it seems kind of archaic to keep the episode kind of a thing, because we're not really on TV, you know, we're on the internet. So let's just call them chapters, because that implies that there's a general storyline, and then we'll call this, you know, the first one we did, we'll just call that the prologue, because nobody reads the prologue and expects to get knocked out of the park with amazing writing, you know, it's just kind of to give you some background information. Mm-hmm. And so I go back there tomorrow, and then we start filming chapters 2, 3, and 4. And it's unsettling in a little bit, because it's like, it's not like I got super famous off of stand-up comedy, you know? So now it's like, now I'm filming from March to July on this gambling thing, and then after that I'm going to do more stand-up and then get ready for the CD recording through this record company. And it's like, there's a lot of really cool stuff potentially, but it's all coming at one time. Yeah. So, thank God for ADD. Juggle it all.
I didn't see the full thing, but just you know, it's one of those moments like where I fell asleep on the couch and I woke up and the news was on and I saw this little piece and it caught my attention. But this a similar kind of idea with like a this internet show, and I think it, something revolving around weed, because that's what the big thing was. Like they were talking about, like if I guess making it like a bring it to a major audience because of the content is about marijuana and stuff. And yeah. But like I guess they were on like the what's a Vimeo or whatever that
yeah. They're that's on, another popular one.
They're on there right now. And then, like, and then now it's, but, like, they did, like, a first season on their own, and then they got, like, huge results, and, like, now they're looking to, I think, move on to a, or they're getting, or maybe now Vimeo's sponsoring it now or something, however it worked out, but they're, now their second season's, like, you know, much, much larger scale, and they can actually afford to pay people and stuff. They, most of the first stuff they all shot for free, or for friends, helping out and things, so
yeah, but just grinding away.
Yeah, but it's exciting to hear that there are these. There's so many different avenues now, you know. Like I mean, yeah. There's like you said, I think you said Netflix off mic or you know, stuff like that. Like there's a lot of options out there that weren't there a few years ago. That,
no, you know, they're not, and that's what feels cool about this. Is it's like it definitely feels like. I mean, again, it might just be me because I'm in San Francisco, which is like the technological capital yeah. of America, but there's definitely a swing, it feels like, towards digital content, and I definitely feel like we're like riding in on this wave, like we're surfing it in. And I don't know, you know, my game plan is to treat it almost like Fight Club. Like you decide your own level of involvement right. on this, you know, like we've just been kind of kicking stuff out there to kind of get people aware of it and what we're doing. And the stuff that we have out now, it's not even really more for people to view, but just to attract more talent to the project. And so my official plan is that we're going to take each chapter, which is 22 minutes long. It's filmed in the same length as you would a regular TV show, half hour TV show, you know, right. minus the commercials. And we're going to take that video, and then we're going to split it up into three small clips. And then we're going to release those clips one every single week. And then we're going to do another thing where we do different podcasts and stuff like that and different other digital contents to kind of supplement that. But the game plan is from the moment the first part comes out that you can watch on YouTube, that's in, you know, 7-8 minute increments, you can pay a dollar and get the whole 22 minutes uncut in one digital file that's now essentially yours, and you can put it on whatever device you want it to be on.
Yeah.
So that way it's like, if you want to watch it for free, we have an avenue for you, and if you want to really get involved and get into shit, then, you know, it's like $5, and it gives you four full 22-minute episodes and or chapters and, you know, the very first prologue one that we did.
Right.
So at least that's the theory, but I mean, it's all just kind of coming up with an idea, attacking it,
yeah.
and then revising the battle plan as you gain more knowledge on it, you know?
Sure.
I've never been one to really sit in a class and, you know, study a bunch of shit. I'm just like, let's go out there and see yeah. if someone gets killed, you know? Like, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much the same idea we're doing with this podcast, man. We just kind of hit the ground running. We're like, I bought a mic. And that night, me and Chris went home and recorded episode one, and we're like, we sat in his basement and talked about Saved by the Bell and all kinds of weird shit, and like, and but you know, we don't know what we're doing. We're just kind of learning as we go and figuring it out. And
that's the key, man.
Yeah.
So many people, I feel like they just want to sit around and talk about what they could be doing, yeah. you know? Like, I get a lot of people now, since the videos come out, they'll come out and be like, oh, I had this sketch idea, you know, where, like, you know, Batman's fucking this chick, and then, like, his dog comes in, and then they start fighting. It's like, I don't want to hear your idea, man. Yeah, I don't want to hear your idea. Write it out. If you're not handing me a script, or yeah. you're not sending me, you know, a treatment, then it's not real. It's yeah. just jibba-jabba. So, that's the way I've always been. You know, we did the podcast Tackling Tough Issues at the Funny yeah. Bone. And to put things in perspective, when the first episode that we recorded, I show up with my laptop and I have four Dynex, like, headset microphone things, and I plug them into all the USB ports, and then I can't get anything to run because you can only really one mic channel depending on the software that you have. That might be different now because this was like, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But it was like, all right, I just bought $125 worth of microphones that don't work for what I need. I guess I'll take them back and try again.
All right.
And it was just, just go through everything and then you figure out what's going on. But I don't know, man. It's like the stuff that you learn from that, it really translates into different stuff. Even that podcast that I did so long ago, it's like it still fits with the video because you're still releasing digital content.
Yeah.
So it's like you still have to be ready and dedicated to no matter what, on this day, you got to put something out. The time maybe not be that important, but the day that you do it, you got to always do it on that day. Yeah. Otherwise, people get lost. They forget about it. You know?
Yeah, well, that's a big thing for us is we put out some bonus episodes like on occasionally through, but we try to make sure every Thursday we put out a new episode. And it's like that, it was a... With podcasting, really, you can do whatever, but it's like, but for us, and if we want to develop a fan base, like, it's all important to kind of have that set. Like, people look forward to a new episode every Thursday or whatever it is. And
when it doesn't come out, they're like, what the fuck? Yeah. We want our free money back.
I used to love listening to you guys on Tackling Tough Issues, TTI.
And then looking back at going through it, it was the most frustrating thing I've ever done in my entire life because I'm very headstrong and I'm very good at getting an idea and then trying to get people to kind of line up with that idea. But it felt like with Tackling Tough Issues that you had the three of us, me, Sean, and Matt, all three of us were trying to do three different podcasts, but at the same time. And it was like we couldn't ever get everything to line up, you know? And it's like, and then on top of that, we've got a big name comic sitting next to us as we're like fumbling, trying to, go about stuff.
Then you got Dan McKenzie in the back yelling.
Yeah, Dan, shut the fuck up! Screaming.
We actually just talked about that. I was at the Funny Bone over the weekend and, We've got to, on the subject of podcasting with a couple of the people there, Matt and Bob Biggerstaff was in town this weekend and then they were talking about Dan yelling in the back and all this stuff in those episodes.
Just screaming. And then the thing that is it sucks is I left and when I left I didn't have a big going away party and chip in a couple bucks to help me out. I just disappeared. I left like a fucking thief in the night. and a lot of that was just because it was like it was a big intimidating thing. Like I had $300 to try to drive myself, from St. Louis to San Francisco, and my mom ended up having to give me money and everything else, but it was more of like, do you really have the balls to do this?
I think sometimes that's what it takes though, because sometimes you got to push yourself. You might not have all the answers right there, but it's either gonna make you or break you. It's like you got to get out there, and then if you're hungry for it, you're gonna find some way to get it, and you gotta.
The sad thing is you learn more from failure than you do from success.
Yeah.
When you succeed, you're like, shit's great. No, I can do it. Fuck you guys. Or, you walk away. But when you fail, you're like, where did it all go wrong?
Yeah. At least you went out and you try it. Even if you did fail, you tried instead of being like, living with regrets, wondering, oh, maybe I could have done this or I could have done that. And
yeah. And I didn't want to trump myself up. Like, oh, I'm going to California. Blah, blah, blah. And then 3 months later, I'm like, California beat the hell out of me. I gotta get back here. Gotta hide out. Yeah. But in that it's like, Sean and Matt still did some podcasts and, I think they've fully stopped, which is a shame.
I think for them, it kind of got to where, there just wasn't enough, guest. I think that was a little bit of it. I don't know for sure, but I don't want to speak on their behalf, but I think it got to the point where a lot of the same comics were been on there 3 or 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, because it was a long running show at that point. Right. You're talking 112 episodes or so, and that was the area that I was in is like, we have access to these big name comics and they've been on before.
Yeah.
But the only reason where it becomes slow is when you're trying to do the well, when did you start comedy? Yeah. And what was your first joke? And anything weird happen on the road? And like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
That's the part that I didn't like. I grew out of that aspect of it really quickly.
All right.
And, you know, I think both Sean and Matt are great podcasters. And I think just because we started this thing and this gamble and this, you know, experiment, basically, and that it didn't necessarily work out mojo-wise between the three of us, I don't think they should have stopped doing it. I think they should have tried to push more and kind of change the format, because I think they were great, you know? Sure. There was a lot of rough stuff, there was a lot of dumb stuff, but at the same time, it's like, there was a lot of really good stuff, too, and good jokes, and good moments of just people revealing different things about comedy, so you know, it's one of those things that's like, it's hard to just be like, all right, we need to redefine this thing that we're always doing.
Right.
And I was on board from that, like, from a very early standpoint, was a big proprietor of that. And they didn't feel that things were necessarily heading that way. And it was like, all right, well, that's cool. But by us not doing this, you have to understand that I am bored to shit now. So, you know, why... I mean, that's cool. I get to sit next to a famous guy and be like, you know, what was it like in Cincinnati? But for me, it got old and I wanted to do different things. Yeah. And, you know, actually after that, I tried to do a podcast on my own of like different weird things. But dude, when I was in California, I crashed and burned financially harder than I've ever. Like, I'm talking like everything was overdrafted and shit wasn't getting paid. Yeah. And I bit the bullet and I stuck it out, but... Yeah, no, I wish they would still podcast, or, you know, even if it's not that same tackling tough issues, they come up with a different name. I think it was a good medium for them.
You, do you have a favorite moment in that? Like, I mean, like, you know, you said you, some of the guys, but like we've had, you had Norm MacDonald and Anthony Jeselnik and stuff.
Yeah, man. I mean,
favorite one that sticks out?
Yeah, I have favorite moments, and I have them in. Different points of view. Like, my favorite comedy, like, tourist moment, like, oh man, you know, this is really happening. The one with Dave Foley was incredible.
Yeah.
He just started spouting off the N-word and, like, nobody was really prepared for it, so it's like, you can hear us like, ha ha, 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 oh god, this guy's famous and we don't know what we're doing, but he's saying something that's crazy and we don't agree with it, but we can't do it. That was good. Dude, the Jeselniks, and I mean, there's just talking with those guys, you know, it was different from like a comic to comic standpoint of like the knowledge you can gain. I think Chris Porter did one of the best ones, and where he was talking about, you know, I did all this stuff on Last Comic Standing and I thought success would kind of fix me. And then after I got the success, it was like, I'm still fucked up. And so then it was talking about like how he did different things to like kind of get back from that. That was really cool. And then, I think it was with Josh Arnold. There's one, like just from like the podcast, like me kind of being a mischief guy, Sean gets drunk and decides he's going to eat dinner on the podcast. And he was upset about something. It's one of those things. It's like in the moment, it feels so bad and so horrible. And it's like, you know, I'm so upset about this. Now I can't even remember what the fuck he was angry about. But he's eating a steak with his hands. Like it's like a chicken wing. And somebody says something, I think it was Matt, like, oh, real professional. And he's all drunk, and he's like, you know what? Shut the fuck up, because I do what I want to do, and that's the bottom line. I'm going to have some green beans. And just starts eating green beans. And, like, that stuff I can go back to and listen. And, like, for me, like, comic, dude, Sean O'Brien is the funniest person on the face of the earth. And the moment he fully gets into it and realizes it, I think he's gonna be awesome, man.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He's the funniest. He's made me laugh so hard that oh man, he was tremendous. But
he's been on this show.
Has he?
Yeah.
Dude, he's.
We had a nice chat about Coldplay and U2 and.
Oh yeah, man. He loves his music, man. Yeah. He loves it, and he got so much shit for his music. Really? But yeah, dude, he's the funniest person on the face of this planet.
Yeah, with speaking of funny bones, and I was wanting to bring up a story. I don't know if you tell your side of it and everything, but I guess you were in town last December at the Valley Park Funny Bone, and there was a little of a incident.
Oh man! So
love incidents.
when I left St. Louis and the way that I went about doing St. Louis, leaving St. Louis, it caused a big rift between me and the Funny Bone. You know, the Funny Bone was like my bread and butter, my home club, like the place that I learned how to do all this comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, over the, I think I've been gone like 3 years now, but as I would come back, like, people weren't exactly happy to see me, okay? It was more of like, you know, this asshole's back in here again kind of a thing. You know, who the fuck's he think he is kind of shit. And so because of that, like, I did some things, and then some people did some things, and it wasn't like bad blood. It was just like a series of bad examples of pride, ego, and misunderstanding on all parties involved. And it left that relationship incredibly fractured.
Yeah.
So when I came back this last December, I was hesitant to go in there because I didn't want to cause a bunch of problems. I just wanted to go see my friends and see my people. I'm not trying to go there, you know, for work or anything like that. I just want to hang out and say hi. You know, we went through a lot of shit together. We did a lot of stuff. And yeah, did I fuck up? Of course I did. You know, did other people fuck up? Of course they did. And so I'm going in there for this. Well, imagine my surprise when Matt's like, you know, you want to get booked at the Valley Park Funny Bone for this week. And I'm like, yeah, sure. You know, I'm just here for a week in between weeks. I actually had the week off. I was at the Loony Bin in Little Rock, and then I was off a week, and then I was going to the Loony Bin in Oklahoma City. So I was like, let's go see some family. It's during Thanksgiving time. Bada boom, bada bing. So I get booked for this, and then I'd never been to Valley Park. Like, I left before that club was,
right.
I mean, not even built, but even, like, finalized and talking about. And so I'm with Frankie and Charlie Winfrey, and we're hanging out, and we're playing Smash Brothers and, you know, just goofing off. And I'm like, well, let's go down there for the open mic. And they're like, oh, dude, man, it's still new. It's not fully, you know, functioning. It's not fully up in, you know, the way you would think the Westport one was. And I'm like, yeah, but I'm going to be there this week. I just want to get a lay of the land, see if, you know, anything crazy is going to happen. And sure enough, it did. It ends with Frankie finally being like, all right, man, you know, I have the day off, but you're the guest. If you want to go down there, we'll all three go down there and, you know, we'll party or whatever. And I'm like, cool. And we go down there and I go up on stage. We're going to go to another open mic after this. So I go up on stage. Just a sparse crowd. There's like 9 people there. And as we're hanging out, just kind of, you know, drinking, smoking, and I'm seeing more people that I didn't get to see. And there's this group of people. There's this, these 2 women and this dude. I think there was 3. No, there was 4 of them. There was 3 women and this this black dude with this black leather jacket. And they keep, like, they're like front row, and they keep getting up as a group, leaving like their beers and purses and shit, and then going out and sitting in this car that's like parked in front of the club. And it's not like you see like a bunch of cigarette smoke pouring out, so it's not like, you know, oh, it's cold, let's smoke in the car. Like, it's just kind of like, okay. And Nathan Orton is on stage, and he actually goes, so as the show starts going, they're disappearing, they're coming back, they're disappearing, they're coming back. One girl starts to heckle, like, the open micers and stuff as they're going up. And Nathan's up there. He doesn't really have anything planned. He's just kind of riffing and, you know, doing some new stuff or whatever. And then this chick starts heckling him. And he's like, oh, yeah, you were the guys that are doing drugs in the parking lot, right? What do I have to do to get on all those drugs? And they're like, And then they keep heckling and heckling. And we're moving through comics. And then, you know, they're coming out like, hey, you can't yell at the comics or whatever. And I go on stage, and then she tries to say something to me, and I just don't even acknowledge it. I don't react to her at all, and then she just stops. So then I go through my set, and I get off stage. There's a couple guys, and right before Charlie goes up, they actually have to come out and be like, hey, if you're a comic or you're here to see a comic, don't yell out at the other comics. And I'm like, well, man, that's kind of weird. Why the fuck would they say that? And then Chuck's like, oh, dude, the chick that's been heckling everyone, she's going to try to go up. She went up at Westport and ran way over her time, and someone had to pull her off stage. Shit. So I'm like, oh, fuck, okay. So then Charlie goes up there, and then he just immediately starts talking to him, which is, it's so fucked, because it's like, hey, don't talk to the comics. And the comic comes out, and he's like, I want to talk to you guys. And it's like, oh, boy. And so then she's getting all rowdy and whatever during Chuck's set, and then the manager comes over again and is, like, talking with her, and then Chuck's doing his thing, and then he gets off stage. They bring up Frankie, who's the tail end of our group, and, like, we actually asked to have him move up because we were traveling together to another show. And Frankie's up there, and the manager goes over, then he's, like, talking to the girl again, you know, don't yell at the comics, whatever. And as he walks away, she's like, hey, boy, hey, and starts snapping at him. Now, keep in mind, she's, like, laid back, dude, feet are up on the stage, like every disrespectful thing you could do as a comic to other comics, dude, she's just checking them off the list as she goes. And the manager runs back over there, Kevin, and he's like, that's it. You guys are out of here. Go to the lobby. We'll get your bar tab. You guys are finished. And she goes, what? And now keep in mind, Frank's on stage, you know, like, I saw a bus the other day, like, trying to go through his act. And there's no one in the audience, so it's not like you could really ignore this. And she's like, what? I'm not going up. I'm the funniest bitch in here. I'm not going. And it's like she got stuck and, like, couldn't believe, I'm not going. And then she charges onto the stage. Oh, and geez. So then I'm like, dude, here comes the cell phone because some shit's popping off.
Right.
So I start filming it with my cell phone. And then Frankie's like, she's like, I'm the funniest bitch in here. Y'all fucking faggots aren't fucking funny. And she's just going screaming, dude, full bore meltdown mode. And I have video of this and everything detailed on my website. If you go to stevepoggi.com, you can see it, the video, as it's happening. Like, once she's on stage, I'm like, it's real, we're clicking. And so she's screaming at everyone. And then, like, she stops screaming and, like, pacing the stage to, like, take a breath. And Frank goes, the people at the club are coming out, like, we're calling the police. This is unbelievable. And they say they're calling the police. One of the women gets up and is in the car immediately. Yeah. Leather jacket's like trying to pay and fucking slam his beer down and get out. And then they're threatening they're going to call the police. And she's, fuck you, I'm the funniest bitch. I got some good shit.
And it's in the car.
Right. And the dude, she's just, it's full meltdown. And she pauses to, like, take a breath. And Frank's like, someone get a picture with me and this bitch before the cops come. Like, that was one of the things. And I'm yelling out at Frank. I'm like, is this your closer? Is this what you're doing? And so then she gets really aggressive with Frank. Oh, she gets off stage, runs around the chairs, and then gets back up on stage. So it's like this endless barrage of madness. And so then I'm like, all right, like, it's starting to, like, not be funny anymore. And it's like, this is turning into something crazy.
Yeah.
She makes an aggressive move at Frank, like, grabs his hat or something. And, you know, I used to be a door guy at the club for, like, 2 or 3 years. So I hand my phone off to Reese and I'm like, just keep filming. And I'm, like, getting closer. Like, I don't want to just jump in the fray. You know, this is the first time somebody hasn't cussed me out for being in a building that's the funny bone. I don't want any fucking problems, but at the same time, I can't have my buddy Frank getting punched in the face or whatever's about to happen. And because, you know, I don't live here. I'll elbow a bitch. I'll armbar like Rousey does, dude. I don't care. And so then she's going on and I'm like, all right, I got to intervene now. And right when I think that, she gets off stage and she's walking out. And I'm like, great. And her, like, friends are like, you know, we got to get out of here. Blah, blah, blah. The cops are coming. And then she's walking, and she's so fucked up or loses her balance, whatever. She falls into a chair in front of one of the comics. And the comic looks up from his notebook and goes, well, get the fuck out of my face. And then she's like, you. And I'm like, hey. I was like, we've made our point. We know you're great. Let's get the big finish and get out of here before the police come. Like, that's my thing. Like, I diffuse situations by joining on the aggressor. Like, you were right. You're absolutely right. You did it 100%. You gave him the business. You better get out of here before it gets crazy. That's right. How I get rid of people. Right. And so I'm walking with her, and I'm like, and she's like, these motherfuckers aren't even funny. And I'm like, oh, no, this is unbelievable. These guys suck. Let's get out of here and leave. Right? And so we're all walking out, and she gets out, and then Kevin's out there, and he's like, oh, God, are they leaving? And then she goes off on him. And she, like, pushes me, and there's this big exchange. And I'm like, we should just leave. This shit sucks, right? Let's get out of here. And then finally, her people that she's with have had enough, all right? And Leather Jacket comes in, and he's, like, grabbed by the arm. He's like, we're getting out of here right now.
You're going to get me
gone. And basically, man, that was the vibe. Like, that wasn't said, but that was the vibe.
Right.
And so then he's like, we're going to get out. And she's like, you don't touch me. you don't. But it's like everything she said is like not made sense, and now it's she's trying to be like a man hit me.
Right.
And, but we're like, well, we all hate you. That's a good thing, you know. Let's get more guys to hit you if we can. And then she pushes Leather Jacket, and she's like, "Get the fuck out of my face!" And all of a sudden, Leather Jacket just choke. Like, hand right to the throat, pressed up against the building, lifting her up. I didn't get this part on video because Reese was worried that they were going to see that it was filming. Nathan got it on video. He was acting like he was on a call and videotaped him.
Nice.
And so he gets, this Leather Jacket grabs her by the throat, throws her on the ground, and we're all like, we should help out, but we don't really like this person. Right. And then next thing you know, like, he's walking to his car, and then the cops show up. And you know, I'm from out of town now. You know, I'm like, give me more fucking fun. We're going to go inside. And I guess the cop was, like, talking to her. And she took her hands and, like, put her hands down by, like, the cop's crotch. And, like, touched, like, inner thigh. And then he spun her around, slapped the cuffs on her, back of the car. Adios. And that was the most epic heckler meltdown I've ever seen in my life. And we got it all on film.
Yeah. That's a crazy night, man.
So, yeah, I was like, welcome back, Steve! Hey! Oh, shit.
You think she's gone back to any mics at all?
I don't know. You know, I've never followed up on it. But there were some people, because she wrote her name down.
She does the best shit, you know, so she...
Dude, she... Well, one of the funniest things, I think it was Millie Nagger went up after her and was like... well, I guess it's clear I'm the second funniest bitch in here. I was like, dude, way to ride the wave like a champ. But, yeah, she wrote her name down on the list, and I always wanted to go and, like, casenet it to see, like, what what happened out of it.
Right.
But, yeah, I posted it to Reddit, dude, and I was getting hits on my website nonstop, dude. People were fucking going all over it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, dude, that was the most epic heckler meltdown I've ever seen.
Yeah, that's a... It's going to be tough to top that night.
But it did. And you're like, what was she going to say?
Yeah.
Like, right. What were you going to say that made you sacrifice? And then apparently, like, one of the girls that's, like, trying to help was, like, a family member or something, and she was married to Leather Jacket, who did the choke slamming thing. It's like, damn, dude, you brought your friends out to tell jokes, and you got kicked out of the show for heckling, ran up on stage, cussed everyone else, then got beat up by the people you brought out to watch you laugh. And then you went to jail. That was your night.
Yeah.
So
that sounds like a Tuesday night to me.
Dude, she's going to be a great podcaster, man. Right. You think my stories were good. Wait till she... We did four bumps of meth, and then I lost my shit.
Right.
Thought the dinosaurs were cussing at me. It's like, who knows what her perspective is, right? Right.
Well, I guess we got to get her on the show now.
Yeah, dude, you got to track her down.
Yeah.
Get her early in the morning when she's waking up before that meth blows that brain out.
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't understand that that whole mentality of the heckle, because man, you obviously go into the funny bone a lot. Like, that's some of my favorite, just to capture that live moment. Because you know, like, you can listen to comedy CDs and they're fun, but you're never gonna replace that live element. And some of my favorite moments are watching Tommy John again, and like, people would say something, and then how quick he is, and with those coming back, and the people, you just make people look so stupid out there. Like, it's just like, why would you open your mouth and say anything? And like, I just don't get why those people think that they're, you know, I guess.
It's a combination of stuff. One is, you know, I'm so drunk, I don't know what's happening. The other one is. Hey, this guy is really good at what he does, and he makes it look really easy, so I've now fooled myself into thinking I can do this, and I want to do it right now, you know, while it's all set up and I'm in the moment. Other people get offended at stuff. I mean, some people, it's just like, some people get really excited, and they feel like they're contributing, you know, they want to be a part of it, and that's why with hecklers, which, for me now, man, they're very few and far between, because, like, everything that I do now is real tight, really spot on, and, you know, I don't really give a lot of time other than the laughter for people to interact, but when they say stuff, I'm always from the point of view of, like, you're just too excited. You know, part of that is because I understand where people are coming from, and I understand I'm not the greatest thing, and some people won't like what I have to say. But at the same time, I've had the shit beat out of me after some shows, so I'm looking to avoid that at all costs, you know? I don't need to get mugged for a third time after a show.
Yeah.
So I'm very just placid. Like, you're too excited. You got to calm down, man. You've been drinking before you went out drinking. Now we got issues and stuff.
I saw Jezelnik one night at Westport, and it happened to be on St. Patrick's Day, and it was the midnight show on a Saturday, and the crowd was, everybody was tanked. I mean, it's St. Patrick's and midnight. St. Louis.
You know, midnight's tanked, let alone St. Patrick's at midnight.
And of course, you know, he's just ripping people apart. There's some girl, like, answered a cell phone call, and she's like, you know, doing the whole, I'm at a comedy show, and he's like, starts like, you know, just ripping on her from the stage. And then I remember some girl, like, barfed into her beer bucket,
Then,
like, had to get carried out and stuff, and I was just like, man, some people know how to party, I tell you that.
There was when I was a door guy, there was a guy who was up front by the stage, like on that first aisle as you go down, and he got up and he tried his best to like run and go around the table and ended up puking all over a guy who was sitting at the table. And then, you know, as a person of the club, everyone's freaking out, like, whole dude, you can't, you know, have someone puke on you and like, you know, you're okay. He was so cool about it, man. They took care of his drinks, and he was like, "Hey," and then they were like, "Well, you know, just take it to a dry cleaner, bring us back the receipt. We'll pay for it." And he was like, "Ah, man, you know, people get fucked up; they can't hold their liquor or whatever." So,
yeah, man, some crazy nights down there.
Yeah, dude. There's especially that midnight show, man. That's when the fucking animals come out.
I tend to go to a lot of those. Like, I'll and some Sunday nights, but it's like those midnight shows are always, that's half of the show is going to see the crowd that shows up at those.
They can be ruthless, man.
We got any anything else you got going on, or you just want people to check out Pete and Poggi?
Yeah, check out Pete and Poggi. As of, like, right now, you guys put them up, like, pretty quickly, podcast-wise?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're going to run this tomorrow.
Cool. Yeah, if you go to YouTube and you type in Pete and Poggi, you can watch our prologue, and then you can watch Chapter 1. I suggest you watch Chapter 1 first, and then the prologue, because the Chapter 1 is, like, a visual display of, like, our best stuff so far.
Yeah.
And if you like that, I think you'll enjoy the prologue better.
Yeah, I don't think I watched prologue. I did watch Chapter 1, and I, like you, I think you touched earlier, was the, his, Pete's, film work, because it is, visually, there's a lot going on, like,
You
know, with the graphics and things, and it's a lot of, it's pretty impressive for, you know, just
No professional actors. Yeah, right. Just comics.
Yeah, but just for, you know, for a YouTube video, there's a lot of good work that's gone into the video. So, I do compliment that.
And we try to cram as much humor as possible, like even down to like set design. We'll put like different like Easter egg kind of things in shots. So we make it to where you can watch it and it's funny, but if you watch it again, there'll be a lot of stuff that you have missed initially. Like, it's kind of designed to be that way. Like, the laughs per minute are very, very stacked and quick. So, yeah, I mean, definitely check it out. And we're going to have the other three chapters will hopefully be dropping by the end of this year. And then I'm toying with this idea of doing a Nintendo 64 podcast where the object is just try to buy and beat every single Nintendo 64 game out there.
There are some good ones,
and document, like, because, dude, that's the big thing in California. They don't have a lot of retro gaming stores, man. Like, you got to go Craigslist or online, but there's not a lot of, like, slacker kind of places where you can go and just browse through stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I loaded up when I came out this
time. I saw your picture. You got a... WCW versus NWO?
NWO, because I already have or it was WCW versus NWO Revenge.
Yeah. Because
I already have the first one. And then I got Road Rash 64 and Wave Race 64.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring my system, so I've been sitting on them for a week, dying to play. And tomorrow I'll get my shot.
Man, I wish I got mine hooked up right now.
Oh, no shit? Yeah, damn it. Of course, I've got to go see my cousin before I leave.
Yeah.
But I'll plan on that next time. We'll do a 64 fest.
I was, my Xbox, it's, I don't know, needs to be serviced or something, my 360, and it's just not, I only play Madden pretty much anyway on that. Just,
yeah.
But I got bored the other day, and I plugged in, I originally put in my NES. I was having some kind of issues, so I wouldn't.
Yeah, it was first generation. Yeah, those guys struggle.
I could get picture, but the remotes weren't working, and I have like those aftermarket remotes that, you know, I picked up at Slackers for cheap, and
yeah.
So I think it might have been something bad remote, and anyway, I got tired of messing with it, and I plugged in the 64, and I got that working, and I got I played my 007, and
those controls hurt my brain now, man. Yeah. When you try to play them, it feels so weird.
Yeah.
But I was so good at one point in time.
So you're a 64 freak, huh?
Oh, dude, fully. Yeah. Fully.
Yeah, I love that old stuff, man. It's fun. Like, and that's what's... I mean, those Mario games and stuff, I mean, they're still good. That's what's... it's still entertaining. Like, there's some new games where, you know, I can play for a couple minutes and, like, I'm not really... I'll get bored with it, but like, it's, for whatever reason, I can still go back and I can play Mario on NES and still have a good time every time.
Exactly. Like, and it feels like, because all those games were like so originally made, like the only thing that feels like those games are the sequels or the prequels to the one that you're playing, whereas there's so many games out now, I mean, you get it and you start playing it and you're like, okay, this is like Call of Duty, this is like, yeah. It's like, it feels like the same thing, just with different like skins, yeah, and different colors, you know? That's why I went retro, man.
Yeah.
I'm in the old school now.
Sure.
Yeah. Mario Kart all day, man. That's my game. I love that thing. 64 version.
Yeah. What was what's the I want to say it's Jam, but it's not. It's an NBA game, but it was a I can't think of what the title is on now.
Yeah, there's anyway,
but it was, you know.
There's a couple of them that rendered like
Double Dribble. That was regular Nintendo.
Yeah.
Yeah, NBA Jam. I think that was... Did they make one for 64?
I don't think it was Jam, but it was something. It was similar to that. It was the whole thing, like, where, you know, he's on fire.
And boom, shaka, shaka.
Baseline leader. And like, yeah. It's like, that's what I always liked. Anyway, I was playing that, too. And NFL Blitz.
Dude, Blitz is a classic. Yeah. You could just pass interference nonstop. Oh, yeah. That's what I used to always do.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's, and then the whole time after the play, you're just sitting there like doing like leg drops on these guys.
Yes. Remember they used to have like the NFL Blitz Arcade.
Yeah.
Where you could plug in your 64 memory card.
Oh yeah.
And like retrieve your player off of it, or like your team or whatever, and your data, and then like go back and forth.
Yeah. I didn't know that, but
I think that's for the regular.
Yeah.
Because for 64 was like NBA Jam. It was Hang Time.
Yeah, Hang Time.
Yeah,
Hang Time is what I was playing the other day.
Jam. I don't think they made another Jam after Super Nintendo Genesis.
Sega. I think that's another thing that was always kind of bothered me, because I always had to, like, I was always Nintendo in my house. Like, we had the NES and Super Nintendo and 64 growing up as kids, but I never had a Sega Dreamcast or PlayStation or the Genesis.
Yeah.
And I always had to go to my buddies and play Mortal Kombat and stuff. Like, you know, I never had...
With the blood codes and stuff.
So,
I mean, when you think about how cool that was, the first Nintendo system came with a light gun to play Duck Hunt.
Oh, yeah.
Now if you had to get a light gun, they'd be like, all right, it's going to be $120. You're like, what?
I had the, we also had the Super Scope, but the Super
Nintendo. Yeah, so. The Super Scope.
Street Fighter was a big one for me.
Yeah?
Dude, that game was awesome.
For the old Nintendos.
What's up? Yeah. Hey,
You know, my mom thought that I had like disabilities because I would run around and be like, Buddha fire! Buddha flame! Tiger! Tiger!
That's coming out for the one. Mortal Kombat's coming out.
Yeah, I saw that the Mortal Kombat X. Yep. I didn't get the one, man. It's, with all the new stuff, man, it seems like there's just so much to learn. Right. So it's like you start playing, and then like I get caught up in work, or I go on the road, and I come back, and I'm like, oh wait, where am I at? How do I do that thing where I hit the guy with the stick or whatever?
Hey, speaking of the new Mortal Kombat, did you guys catch that the Conan O'Brien, Marshawn Lynch, Rob Gronkowski bit?
No,
great.
It was so funny, man. They right before the Super Bowl, Conan did a bit with Marshawn Lynch and Rob Gronkowski, and he's done it a lot of times with some other guys, but he's done the bit several times where just him. But it's his Clueless Gamer bit where he does like he played like Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, okay, I have heard of that. I didn't know he had those guys. Wow.
Right, yeah, so he had those guys right before the Super Bowl, and they played Mortal Kombat, and it was one of the funniest things because like those two guys, I mean, they need a reality show or something. Those two guys were cracking me up, just like ripping on each other the whole time, especially while they're playing. Like, but the Mortal Kombat game is very graphic. I mean, it's always been graphic, but this new one is.
So they were actually playing the X, yeah. The new one.
And Conan's like, you know, freaking out, like, oh my, you know, like just all those people getting their heads cut off and everything else, and he's just like. And then he ends up, like, on the ground, like, in a fetal position and stuff, and, like, sucking his thumb and doing all kinds of silly things. And, but anyway, that's my plug. Go see it. Go find it on YouTube. It's a really funny bit. But, yeah, those two guys, that was pretty funny stuff.
Dude, did you see the new Power Rangers video that they put out?
Yeah, I checked that out.
That was dark as shit, man.
It's like a 14-minute... clip of dark kind of gritty version of Power Rangers kind of reboot that they're wanting to do, and I think James Vanderbeek is an actor in it, but I think he also had wrote or something produced it or something like that. Like,
yeah, it's one of those things. He's like, you don't really watch the credits. It's just over.
But it was interesting. I did, and then I saw like a reply thing online a little like what's his name. Jason, who was like the Green Ranger.
Oh, okay. Like the guy that actually played it like
the real actor. He's got, I saw people shared his video, but he put on his Facebook page like his whole opinion on it. And he had some pretty good points. Like I thought that like he didn't really agree with like going that dark. Like he liked the idea, like as an adult, like, but the fact that Power Rangers is still a franchise loved by children.
Yeah,
and like it's not really like something like to go that dark and with the language and the drugs and the violent, like it would have been, it's a little too much for the, you know, the kids are going to want to watch it and they can't watch this one because
that's going to be hot. People are getting shot in the head, dude. It was fucking crazy.
But so I agree with that. Like, you know, it's the thing with like some of that stuff. Like we grew up, you know, obviously like Batman. You know, it was a little softer when we were watching as kids and the various cartoons and shows and then like, you know, to come up with these movies now that Christopher Nolan, you know, like those are much darker than anything.
Dude, even the new animated series, I read that because I watched the Suicide Kings like animation. Like, oh, this will be cool or whatever.
Yeah.
Like the first 3 minutes, someone had their head blown off and like died. Yeah. Like one of the villains like actually literally died, and the thing, and it was like, geez, this is a little steep here, guys.
But I think that kind of works. But like but Batman, there's still a lot of various forms of Batman, but I don't think it's as much like on like I think. The way he was talking, that there was like a current Power Rangers episode, you know, series or something going on, or
yeah, or they're some, getting ready to re-release some or something. Form
of it, yeah. So I don't know, to each his own, I guess. But
yeah,
but I was digging it though. I thought it was pretty insane, badass. Man. Yeah,
yeah.
So, all right, man, we'll wrap this up.
Okay.
Thanks for hanging out, Steve.
No problem. Man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, man. Good talk. Good catching up. So, you guys don't have, Is it still under construction, Pete and Poggi site?
Yeah, the site is. If you just go to stevepoggi.com, you can. I got two CDs on there you can download. I've got the podcast I did with Doug Stanhope, or link to that. You can watch them video wise, or I think it's like a slideshow with audio over it, or you can just listen to them. And I got the Heckler video on there. And
yeah.
So yeah, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. You can see me perform on House Arrest when I was. Told the House Arrest people I was an intern at the comedy club so I could still do stand-up comedy at the open mic night while I was on House Arrest. So.
I don't know why. It has nothing to do with, but for whatever reason, it popped in my head. But we just had Stryker Spurlock on a little bit ago. I don't know if you've got to know him much at all.
Yeah, but, yeah. Like, through the scene and stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, he told us a story. And I saw the picture, but they went like to Chicago and did some kind of stand up in like a what used to be a former speakeasy.
Okay.
And he's not 21, so they wouldn't allow him into this bar to perform. And he said that they put like the mic up by the window, and he like told jokes leaning in the window. I was just thinking, like, if you were, you know, your ankle bracelet or whatever on the bar, so you had, like, you know. So that's kind of what.
Yeah, where never my been brain so went. Happy yeah. to stop telling a joke like I was with the ankle bracelet jokes.
Yeah. But anyway, yeah, man, thanks a lot, and best of luck with Pete and Poggi, and awesome. See what happens, man. I'm excited.
Awesome, man. Yeah, thanks for having me. Keep watching. Keep listening.
Yeah. All right, that's a wrap. Thanks, Steve.
Bro.
Thanks.
Welcome,
Wade.
Nice to meet you, buddy.
You got anything? You got shows? Want to plug?
Wednesday night I'm at the Borough Bar, 7 to 10. Friday I'm at the Q off Main Street,
all right,
5:30 to 9.
So come out, listen to some music, see some shows.
Yay!
All right.
Thanks, buddy.
That's it.
Rock Paper Podcast. Rock Paper Podcast. Rock, 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 rock,